Thank you all for being here, and thank you for giving us this time to share with you our story. I'm Dick Record. This is my wife, Susan. We've been married 25 years and have a 21-year-old son. Story. There should be a picture. There we go. Giggle. Though Susan and I are different in so many ways, she's type A, I'm type B. She's an extrovert, I'm an introvert. She's passionate, I'm very even-keeled, maybe too even-keeled sometimes. But God knew what he was doing by putting us together. The very things that aggravate us at times about each other are things that God uses to complete us. This is our story of redemption and restoration, and through sharing it, we hope you all are encouraged in your relationship.
I grew up in a marginally Catholic home with mom, dad, and four brothers. I was number four of five, and it was God's mercy that I was a girl because my mom told her OB if I was a boy to not bother waking her up. I grew up in a volatile home where I witnessed my father be both physically and emotionally abusive. My mother was bitter and resentful and blamed us for her problems. I spent my childhood living in fear. I vividly remember when I was around eight, my parents were fighting so violently that I curled up in a ball in bed, praying to God to make them stop, but they never did. And I wrote off God, that either he didn't exist or he didn't care about me. To add fuel to the fire, one of my brothers introduced me to pornography at the age of nine, along with threats of molestation. In my early teens, I acted out in every way. I sought to numb the pain through sex, drugs, alcohol, and trying to escape, which included an attempted suicide.
I was raised in a Christian family, the youngest of one brother and three sisters. We were the Leave It to Beaver family, which I need to update that reference if you don't know what Leave It to Beaver is. But we went to church regularly, but there was really no outward commitment to follow Christ or what that even meant. I came to know Christ at 13, but would tell you there was no real life change, and I just didn't even know what to do with what to do next. I was a good kid overall. My wife might disagree. An Eagle Scout. But really a cultural Christian. And I was exposed to pornography at an early age. And through my college years, my addiction to pornography deepened.
So during my college years, I questioned if God even existed and tried to fill the emptiness in my soul by seeking relationships with men, partying and indulging in pleasures, as well as achieving goals and academic successes. But nothing would satisfy or fill that void in my heart. It was at SMU where I met the person who God used to help change my life. A fellow art student showed me what God says in his word, that we have all sinned and fall short of God's glory, that the wages of sin is death, separation forever from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. She went on to share that God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and raised from the dead on the third day. He defeated death so that through Jesus Christ, we have the gift of eternal life and forgiveness, and by the grace of God can know his unconditional love and have a personal, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. It was mind-blowing to me. We prayed together, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. The impact of what she shared with me hit me like a Mack truck. After we parted ways that night, I got into my car, and I said out loud, "Oh, my God, what have I just done?" I knew this meant I'd have to change everything in my life. Everything. My lifestyle, friends, partying. And even though I didn't like my life, it was what I was familiar with. I had much fear in facing the unknown the change would bring. Regardless of this fear, I took action and implemented obedience to God. I went home that night and told my boyfriend he had to move out. I quit smoking and cussing, and my friend introduced me to new friends. She taught me how to read and study the Bible. I had no idea what 1 John 5:11-12 was. And she emphasized scripture memory to replace all the lies in my head with the truth, the word of God. John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In my 30s, my life hit a pivotal point. I was still single, emotionally vulnerable, and very isolated. I didn't trust the Lord with my pain and loneliness. And because I had such a huge emotional hole to fill, I chose to have an affair with a married man. I was hooked on the drug of attention and desire. I hated my sin, but I wouldn't release it. I kept the affair hidden, and I lived a double life for several years.
After college and graduate school, I started a career and was looking for love, mostly in the wrong places, if you know that analogy. In my mid-30s, God had a sense of humor by using a girl that I had a crush on at work to lead me to a Bible church. Within a month, I had met Susan instead. Susan and I had a tumultuous relationship, which actually ended up breaking up twice. I broke up with her the first time to pursue the girl that I was working with. That relationship fizzled out after the first date. I felt really bad about losing Susan, and I realized I had a Susan-shaped hole in my heart, but also a Christ-sized hole from an immature relationship with Christ. I sought forgiveness from Susan, and we resumed our relationship for a few months when I started pulling away again, and I emotionally withdrew from her and told her that I had lost my feelings for her, and she broke up with me. It really ended up being a bout of depression. I just didn't realize it at the time. 6 months later, we met at a church retreat and slowly started to date again. During this time, God was working on me and deepening my roots in Christ and in His Word. I was involved in a men's Bible study in community group and found out, somewhat like Susan, that Acts had nothing to do with acting in the theater. And then while there was a book of Philippians, I could not find the book of Philistines. I'm so thankful that Christ was faithful when I was not. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." He put this wonderful lady in my path and kept knocking me on the head when I wasn't getting it, what I had. And leading me back to him and to Susan. And in 1998, we married. One of us has changed a little bit. I'll let you guess who.
There was a whirlwind of changes the first year we were married. 1.5 years into it, I felt trapped in a hopeless marriage and thought I had made a big mistake in marrying Dick. We had difficulty in communicating and in conflict resolution, as well as mismatched sexual needs and desires for each other, and sought Christian counseling. I felt like the counselor was telling me the problems in our marriage were my fault. My expectations and my desires were not realistic. We never brought Dick's issues into the light, and he stayed silent. Brick by brick, the walls of resentment were built. I felt like I was in a desert and dying of thirst. I had a desperate need to be desired and valued. I had all these unmet expectations, and I focused only on those. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." So we both continued to pursue our careers, and he withdrew further and further, and the walls grew thicker and higher. My insecurities were magnified. I believed he lost his feelings and desire for me. My need for affection and intention became my idol and my undoing. I allowed myself to get into an emotional affair. Proverbs 26:11 says, "Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly." So after struggling several years with infertility, our son Story was born. Then I permanently ended the affair. I clung to the Lord with desperation, and he drew near to me. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Dick never knew about my secret until many years later in Reengage. Little did I know that Dick's secrets were about to come to light as well. Luke 12:2, But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known.
During the rough patch that Susan referenced, I was sitting on the sofa one night wondering what in the heck have I done, maybe a different word, and thinking marriage shouldn't be this hard. We were having conflict, and I just didn't really understand where it was coming from, as my parents, I'm sure, had conflict but kept it hidden. And we were giving Satan a clear path into our marriage. My use of porn continued off and on, and I was trying to fight it and then relapsing. One day at the office, I told Susan she could search for something on my computer, and she saw paths to websites I had visited, and it really seared her in a way that I did not understand at that time. I told her I was sorry, but I did not seek forgiveness. I knew what I had done was wrong. I hated the porn. I was praying for Christ's help, but in reality, I was leaning on my own strength and my own understanding to manage the porn instead of banishing it from my life. I realized how deceptive Satan is with porn and how it insidiously creates divisions and intimacy with your wife and how your body reacts to it like a drug and just wants more. It's a super highway for Satan into your brain to destroy you and your marriage. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Choosing between the thief and Jesus should be a no-brainer. But I was letting that thief in my house, and I was not protecting Susan.
So when I discovered the pornography on the computer, I was devastated. I felt deceived, hurt, and betrayed, and I was filled with anger. He couldn't have hurt me more deeply in any other area of my life. Intimacy and trust were broken.
I finally fully submitted to wanting to be free of this addiction and put safeguards in place to help with that process. Covenant Eyes was downloaded on all my electronics. I confessed this sin in our community group and now have others who hold me accountable as well. Through reliance on Christ, spending time in the Word, friendships with brothers who are walking with Christ, and finally learning to hate pornography and not just trying to lock it away in some little box in my head, a permanent break from pornography began. I had images one day in my car of a beautiful apple, the most beautiful apple you could imagine, and that was pornography. And I imagined biting into that apple, and it was all just dust inside. That is just a great reminder to me of the emptiness of porn if I'm ever tempted back that way again. I depend on Christ's strength daily. It's not through my strength. And these actions have given me freedom, though it can still be a struggle. Fortunately, it's this size struggle versus the torrent of struggle I was in before. Porn is a cheap imitation of what God gave me in Susan. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." If you're struggling with porn, banish it from your home. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love." You can't live with porn in your marriage and be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be strong, or let all everything you do be done in love. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." You also can't serve God and manage porn. We went through Reengage initially. As Susan said, she confessed to her past emotional affair. And I really struggled with anger, as my issue had been held up as the problem. And this had remained hidden. God gave me the wisdom to see at that time that getting mad at Susan didn't make any sense when the emotional affair was years in the past and she was just not that person anymore. I also realized I had opened the door to the affair with my porn addiction and not loving Susan well. Forgiveness and grace were extended in spite of the fact that we both had been unfaithful and betrayed one another. The truth of Colossians 3:13 changed everything. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you.
And what I had thought would completely derail our marriage was exactly what God used to draw us closer to him and to each other and deepen our love for one another. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We began attending Watermark in April 2013 and went through Reengage in 2014. Now we are leading others to draw closer to Christ and one another. What a privilege and humbling call to serve together. Our marriage is certainly not conflict-free. We struggle to not fall back into our old patterns of withdrawal and avoidance. We commit to keep short accounts and to pursue our marriage. We're two sinners who still struggle, but are learning to struggle better together with Jesus Christ by our side. Now we face new challenges of my chronic health issues over the past few years. In July 2019, I was diagnosed with cancer, and in January 2020, I was down for a month with COVID, sicker than I've ever been in my life. But thankfully, the cancer's in remission, but now I have a progressive autoimmune disease that causes me much affliction and distress. I struggle often with depression and defeat, but through it all, I sense the Lord working in me and drawing me into a deeper trust and dependence on him than ever before as I cling to his promises and choose his joy and peace and hope. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 tells us, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds our future. Colossians 1:17 says, "He's before all things, and in him all things hold together."
The path to getting to know Christ and my relationship with Susan has given me a deepening reliance on Jesus through regular quiet time in the Word and prayer. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Susan and I continually work on our marriage, and I'm just so happy she is my wife. She's a beautiful woman, inside and out, and strong, and I get to do life with her. If I'd submitted to my hopelessness early in my marriage, or just said this is too hard, and looked for a relationship that felt better, I would have cheated myself of that. It's a beautiful thing when you and your spouse know the other is going to be there at the end of life's storms. To know Christ and your spouse will be there is truly a gift from God. A great verse that reminds Susan and I of hope is Isaiah 43:19. It says, "Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." When you see a little stream starting in the desert in your marriage and grass starts to grow, y'all encourage it to each other and your spouse. Thank you for letting us share.